إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, inshallah, I want to do a series of reminders on the issue of marriage because we seem to be in what is known as our marriage season after Ramadan. And a lot of people are getting married, so it's a good thing to remind ourselves about what marriage is supposed to be in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we have created, and from the sign, and from his signs, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, and from his signs is, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. From his signs is this, that he has created from amongst yourselves, your mates, your spouses. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you may find tranquility with them. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً, and Allah has put between you love. وَرَحْمَةً, and mercy. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Verily in this there are ayat, there are signs for people who reflect. So inshallah we will look at this over the next couple of days in stages. First and foremost thing to remind myself anew is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called this institution of marriage his sign. Therefore, the institution of marriage in Islam, it seems redundant to say if it is done according to the will of Allah, because what else is the way of doing it? But I still have to say it because that seems to be a big issue as far as we are concerned. If the marriage is done according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is an act of ibadah. It's an act of ibadah. Not only do you get married, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a reward for this. And the reason I'm saying if it is done according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us in his own, with his own amal, what should happen in a marriage, what it's all about. So a marriage is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously it means that when you celebrate this marriage, that you avoid all things which are not permitted by Allah. Today we seem to be in a situation where we not only do things which are not permitted, but we seem to invent new things every day. New rusum, new customs, new traditions, all kinds of things. And all of these, illa mashallah, are things which are not permissible in Islam. But we do that in the name of marriage. And then to make matters worse, when you try to advise people, they tell you, no, you know, it's only, I have only one daughter, I have only one son. So let me fulfill my desires. So I have only one son or one daughter. So therefore, let me try to see how much I can offend Allah, how much I can anger Allah in this one marriage. I don't have any other opportunities. If I had 20 sons, I could have done it 20 times. But I have only one. If I had 20 daughters, I could have done it. But I did have only one. So therefore, let me try to maximize the amount of nahusat and the amount of anger of Allah that I can create for myself. Yeah, this is that's what it actually means. Think about this. What sense does it make? Question asked, especially the parents. Because most of the time, the root of all this evil are the parents. The children are getting married. They are interested in getting married, period. The boy wants to marry the girl. If there was nothing also, he would have married the girl because he wants to marry the girl. Right? But it is the parents who create all this. So now, if you ask them, what would you like, what kind of dua do you want to make for your children? Naturally, I don't think there is any parent who will say that I wish my child is getting into this marriage. I wish that this marriage gets destroyed as quickly as possible. I wish that this marriage is full of bad luck. I wish that this marriage is only going to create problems for them. Nobody will say this, right? People will want the best for them. I wish my children's marriage will be a long and happy marriage, full of khair and full of barakah and so on. Now tell me, how do you think this is going to happen? If the beginning of that marriage, if the foundation of that marriage is based on the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is this khair and barakah and how is this greatness and goodness and value going to come into that marriage when you are founding it? The basis of that marriage is the anger of Allah, is the disobedience of Allah, is going against the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How is this possible? Tell me. I mean, somehow, you know, Ajib, in terms of deen, we are all very logical, sensible, educated people. But when it comes to the matters of deen, all our logic and our sense, our education seems to evaporate. We have nothing. We behave like people who are insane. Completely logical, nonsensical behavior. If you ask the person, you don't do this in your normal work life? No, I don't do. Why do you do it in deen? What happened to your intelligence? Where is your knowledge? It's very strange. But this is what we seem to be doing. So, please understand, first and foremost, as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the marriage His sign. What more honor can something be given than to be called the sign of Allah? What does the sign of Allah mean? What is the sign of anything? Sign of, if I say this flag is a sign of India, what does it mean? It means that when you look at the flag, you say, oh, this is the Indian flag. The sign reminds you of the original. The sign reminds you of that which it is the sign of. So, if the marriage is the sign of Allah, then the marriage must remind you and me of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people who are taking part in that marriage, meaning who are part of that contract, the people who are conducting the marriage, the guest in that marriage, whatever function you have in that marriage, all of these must remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is one of our signs that we have created from amongst you, your mates. So, the marriage must remind us of Allah. Second thing is, when Allah is saying, this is my sign that I have connected, I have created for you a mate from amongst yourselves. Therefore, the person that you marry also must remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this is the criterion. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we know in the famous hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a woman is married, and the hadith of course refers to the man as well. He said the woman is married for four reasons. Is for her lineage, for her beauty, for her wealth, and for her deen. And he said, marry the woman for the deen, because in that there is the greatest of khair. The same thing applies to the man. So now, the person that you marry must also remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you even make a choice of a spouse, think about that. The person I am marrying, does this person remind me of Allah? Or does this person remind me of the disobedience of Allah? Is this person obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is in their appearance, in their walk and talk, in their deen, in their aqaid, in their ibadat, is this person somebody who reminds me of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that among the many hadiths related to marriages, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the man who wakes up for tahajjud and then wakes up his wife. And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the woman who wakes up for tahajjud and wakes up her husband. And he said that wake them up, and if they don't wake up, if they seem to be deep in sleep, then sprinkle some water on their face. Now imagine, what is this telling you about? It says that here I have got a husband, here I have got a wife who reminds me of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not only at the time on the wedding day, it is all through my life. How will that happen? That will happen only if you marry somebody who has, I'm not saying you necessarily have to marry a Hafiz, a Mufti, Alim, no. Somebody who is connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somebody who has some understanding of their deen, somebody who has some concern for pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the basic criteria based on which we should marry. Today, I just ask yourself, when a alliance comes, when a proposal comes, what do you look for? Now, we look, first and foremost, we look to see if the person, what is this person earning? What kind of career do they have? What kind of, nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying, what are the priorities? What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us to look for? What is the meaning of the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We say, what is the person earning? Many times we don't even look to see this earning, is it halal or haram? The person is earning, but the person is a bookie in the race course, right? So his earning is from gambling. And I'm not exaggerating. I actually know people like this. I actually know people who have got married on this basis. This is what they are doing, Muslim people. I'm not exaggerating. So therefore, I'm saying, here you've got a situation. You say, oh, my spouse-to-be, my husband or something, they have got a restaurant. But in that restaurant, you're serving pork, you're serving alcohol. We have Muslim restaurants in this city of Hyderabad the Great, serving pork and serving alcohol. Ajib, forget about, we are talking about whether the chicken which is served, is it Zabiha or not, the Fahi, they are serving pork. I mean, what more do you want? You know, Ajib, competing with I don't know who, which agent of shaitan. So seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question. What are the criteria that you are judging? So first thing we see, what is the earning? We don't worry about halal and haram. Then we say, good looking or not good looking? I'm not saying marry somebody who is ugly. But good looking or not good looking is not, is within limits, yes, but other beyond that, it makes absolutely no sense. And we have many cases of people who have not got married because they have not found somebody good looking enough. I tell people, go look in the mirror, go look at your own face. What kind of face have you got that you want somebody who is that good looking? Make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, here is somebody who is sahih and salim, that they are not deformed or something, or they don't have any problem with them. Like, good looking is in the eye of the beholder. Allah, I mean, if a person, a pious person, a good person, a person who is on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person should be good looking to you. If that person is not good looking to you, something is wrong with the way you are looking at people. This is what we look at. We look at this, we look at physical appearance, we look at your wealth or property which you inherit. How many of us ask this question, this spouse of mine who I am marrying, is this person particular about salah? If this person is if you are looking at the husband, does my husband go, or my future husband to be, does this person go and pray salah in the masjid? Is this person on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If it's a girl, does this girl, appearance, does this girl wear hijab? Does she do hijab? Because hijab is from the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hakam. The girl does not even do hijab. She is not even bothered about obeying the basic hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What kind of wife will she be for you? If she doesn't even obey Allah, is she going to obey you? Your husband is supposed to be a man, he does not have a beard, the man shaves his face. Why? Knowing that this is against the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing that this is against the hukum of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the person cannot obey the messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how is this person going to obey you? If he doesn't care for the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how is he going to care for you? What kind of earning do they have? What kind of akhlaq do they have? How does this person treat his or her parents? What is the suluk with the parents? How does this person treat those who serve them? I always tell people, you want to go and see, go to their house and don't watch anything and just see how they treat their servants. That will tell you volumes about what kind of character that person has. Because if a person cannot treat their servants properly, that person is not going to treat you properly. The moment your novelty wears off, you will also be trashed. This is what we need to look at. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the marriage is a sign of Allah. I remind myself and you, and inshallah, as we go forward, we look at other parts of this ayat, inshallah, that let us be very clear. If we want our marriages to be happy and full of khair and barakah, and this is what I pray for you, then make sure that you make the right choices. Let the marriage is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sure that there is nothing in that ceremony which angers Allah. Make sure that the person you are marrying is a person who reminds you of Allah. Make sure that you marry only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your lives with nur and barakah and your marriages with nur and barakah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.